For the first time in the company's history, Facebook is starting to see a decline in the amount of active users on the platform. I'll give you the details. Plus, what about website sliders? Are they still a thing? Should you use one? Should you not use one? I'm going to talk all about website sliders and a whole bunch more today on The Notable Show.
It's the program that makes creating and growing an online business fast, simple, and even fun. You're listening to The Notable Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Thomas McGee and this is The Notable Show, a show that's here to help you create an online business that's truly notable. Okay, so today we're going to talk all about website sliders, or you can also hear them commonly referred to as well as carousels. They're just those little things that you typically see on a homepage or on an app or something that cycles through various images or promotions or something. News sites use them a lot as well. The whole idea with a website slider or a carousel is that you're going to be able to cycle through a number of different concepts in one area, in one space on the screen, in one area of screen real estate. So the idea is that they save a lot of space and that you don't have to necessarily worry about relying upon one concept. You can pack everything into one area. So we're going to talk all about website sliders. Are they still a thing? Should you use them? I hear a lot of people talk about like Amazon or even Apple or a number of different other, or Netflix, or, you know, Amazon Prime is another subset of Amazon itself. And a lot of these bigger sites still use these sliders. So it leaves a lot of people who are running online shops or different online or different spaces online just wondering, should I use something similar for my platform? So we're going to be jumping into that. But before we do that, let's jump into today's notable news.
Headlines from around the globe. It's time for your weekly notable news.
Okay, so this is a really interesting story that was out recently from CNBC, and it's all about Facebook. Now, this is really relevant if Facebook is a place where you're trying to do advertising or if you are trying to build your audience. Using Facebook as a real driving force for this, this is something that you're really going to want to take note of. And that is, for the first time in the company's history, they're actually starting to see a decline in the amount of active users. Now, I'm not sure if that necessarily means the amount of people who are actually signing up each day. I'm sure people are, you know, the base of users that Facebook has is continually going up. I would never doubt that. But I think the significant piece here is that the amount of quote-unquote active users is declining, which means that people are starting to use it less and less. And it's not so much that it's starting to nosedive or taper off or anything like that. It's more that it's kind of reached a peak. And you kind of knew it was going to happen. You know, eventually Facebook is going to reach a place in time where it has to level off. There's only so many human beings in the world who can actually be using the platform. So eventually we knew it kind of had to taper off, but it still is an important milestone or marker in the company or in the platform's history. So I'll just read a quick snippet from the CNBC article. So the number of people in the US and Canada who check Facebook every day dropped between the third and fourth quarter of 2017, the first such quarterly drop in company history. Facebook usage in North America has been largely flat for the last several years, leaving international growth to pick up the slack. But the drop suggests that Facebook usage has reached a saturation point in its first and most lucrative market and could foretell similar usage drops around the world. So it goes on a little bit later in the article, and it says, if usage flattens, Facebook will have to pack more ads into the newsfeed, charge advertisers more per impression, or figure out new and similarly profitable business areas to maintain long-term growth. So this is pretty significant for you if, as a business owner, you're currently running Facebook ads or you want to or something like that. For the average Facebook user, I don't think it's going to make too big of a difference. I think the average Facebook user has gotten pretty used to seeing ads in their timeline. The only significant piece here is that maybe they would be seeing a little bit more. But what this means for you as an advertiser is that it could, and this is not a for sure thing, but there's a good chance that you could start to see a little bit less return on your Facebook ads, meaning it could get a little bit harder to actually advertise on Facebook. Now, we all know right now there's still a bit of a skill and an art to being able to advertise on Facebook to drive traffic to squeeze pages or different places on your site. But the whole idea here is that if Facebook is going to start showing more ads in an effort to generate more revenue, that means that the average Facebook user is going to become a lot more desensitized to the sight of an ad. So that's not to say, you know, Facebook has been really good about innovating in the past to make ads really relevant to the people that are viewing them. I think Facebook is one of the best platforms in the world at tailoring ads to their audience, mainly because they collect so much information on every person. Now, there's a whole other argument to be made on privacy and on whether or not they should or should not, you know, actually be collecting this much information on users, but they do, and people do volunteer a lot of that information freely. So that's a whole other discussion. What it means is that because Facebook has so much information on people, it allows their advertisements to be that much more targeted. However, as this piece in CNBC is pointing out, it's reaching a saturation point. And so the real question from here is, what is going to happen moving forward? What is Facebook going to do? There's a lot of other social networks that have completely gone by the wayside. You have places, you have things like MySpace. You've even seen Twitter in the last year or two start to make really dramatic and even some questionable changes to the way Twitter works in order to keep investors happy. Because at the end of the day, Facebook is a business. Twitter is a business. So even the decision to up Twitter's, you know, character count from 144 to 280 or whatever, or 140 to 280, made a lot of users unhappy. But again, that decision wasn't really based upon what users wanted. It was more based upon what is going to keep investors happy. So one of the moral of the story is, one of the things I always like to point back to, and you've probably heard me mention this many times before, this just underscores the reason why it is so important to make sure when you're building a platform, when you're building a business, especially a web-based business, that you're not placing all your hope and all your trust and all of your efforts on a third-party platform, such as Facebook, such as Twitter, such as YouTube, but that the core of your business growth is behind something that you can leverage, like an email list. So again, I think Facebook ads are great. I think they're a great way to build a list, to build a business. I think Twitter is also great in certain aspects in terms of building a business, same with YouTube. However, they're only as useful as they are in the efforts of growing an email list and something that you actually own, manage, and maintain. So again, really interesting article, something to definitely take note of, especially if you currently or want to begin advertising on Facebook. Go ahead and check this out. I've got the link to the full article. I think they got a video in there as well. Definitely worth reading. Just go to notableshow.com/9. Again, that's notableshow.com/9.
Useful for any stage of online business, it's time for your weekly notable tool.
Okay, so I'm very excited about today's notable tool because, number one, it's free, and number two, it just so happens to be something that really helped me several years back when it came to the concept of launching products. So for the longest time, and even still to this day, the core of my work has always been working with clients, which is wonderful. But I wanted to reach a point in time where I'd actually be able to launch and sell my own products. And since I'm a WordPress designer and developer, it was a natural fit for me to launch WordPress themes and plugins, which of course I do now at Notable Themes. But what something that was really difficult for me and to understand and to kind of wrap my head around was how to properly and effectively actually launch those products out into the world. So that's when I came across someone by the name of Jeff Walker and his product launch formula. So Jeff has been launching multi-million dollar products online for over a decade. So he's kind of the guy that's written the book, so to speak, and he has actually written a book on the topic, but he has mastered launching products. He's got a specific formula that he's tailored, and you'll see people all over the internet using this formula to do million or multi-million dollar product launches. And the main reason is because it works. And of course, at the core of his formula is the importance of building an email list. But he's putting on a totally free workshop right now. So you can go in there and he's got a series of videos where he teaches all about his product launch formula. And I highly recommend you take some time, go through his videos. Again, they're totally free. He's got a number of free downloads that he offers along with them kind of as companions. But this workshop is actually the first piece to the puzzle in my own road to beginning the process of creating and actually launching my own product. So go check that out. You can go to notableshow.com/PLF. So he has something called, it's called the product launch formula. So PLF. So go to notableshow.com/PLF. Again, that's notableshow.com/PLF.
Never miss a thing. Go to notableshow.com to get email updates of the latest episodes, free resources, and more.
Okay, so now let's get to website sliders, also known as website carousels. So just as a quick recap, the carousel or the slider is something that you see typically above the fold on the front page of a website that slides through various slides. And each of those slides will typically be an ad or a promotion or something that can be found somewhere else within the website. And so a lot of people like to use these because you can show like 3 to 5 slides and you can advertise your latest products, you can show your latest blog post, your latest podcast, or something of that nature. And you can fit a lot of things into a small amount of screen real estate, and you can have it all, as I mentioned, above the fold. So the fold is basically that general area towards the top of the site that you can see visibly on most monitors without having to scroll. So again, the idea is that you're able to pack a lot of stuff up at the top of the website where people can see it for, you know, when they're visiting the site for the first time. So I always like to go back to the numbers and studies and research that have been done. Now this one is admittedly a little bit old. It's a little dated. So it's back from June of 2013. However, I have seen other studies. I just couldn't track one down, but there are many other studies that have been done, usability studies and tests that have been done on website carousels and sliders to find out just how useful are they. So this one is fascinating. Again, I will leave the link to this and all other articles in today's show notes. You can find those at notableshow.com/9. But they did a test on a number of different websites. And one of the ones they did was a site that had the URL of nd.edu, which obviously is an education website. But they did a lot. They tested a lot of users. They had 3,755,297 homepage visits. So they had almost 4 million people visit their homepage. And here's how it broke down in terms of the actual slides in the slider. So they had a homepage with a carousel or slider, and they had a total of 5 slides. So here's how that broke down. Nearly 4 million visitors. So here's how the numbers broke down. This is the actual number of engagement. So the people who actually clicked on one of the slides. So remember, you got 5 slides and they were in the same order. So there was no random order to this. Sometimes sliders will allow you to randomize the slides. Okay, so at position 1, so the very first slide received 89.1% of the clicks. So I'm going to repeat that. Slide number 1 of this carousel, remember it's got 5 slides it goes through, received 89.1% of the clicks. Slide number 2 in the carousel received 3.1% of the clicks. Position 3, 2.4%. Position 4, 2.8%, which I found that a little bit odd that it went up. But position 5 or slide number 5 was 2.6%. Now, there are other variables you could take into account here, such as the fact that maybe one design of slider or slide was more compelling than the other, a lot of other things. However, throughout all, they've done this through multiple websites, and what was consistent about them is that slide number 1 received somewhere around 90% of the clicks almost every single time. So what does that mean? The moral of that story is that most people are clicking on the first slide or none at all. So the question mark becomes, well, then why have the other slides? And that is a pretty That's a pretty good question. Now, if you go back, the argument I hear a lot of times is that, well, Amazon does it, or Netflix does it, or Apple does it, or they'll point to these really large companies that are doing it. Now, there are some cases where it actually makes sense to have a slider, and it's okay that 90% of the clicks are appearing on the first slide. You have to remember, for something like Amazon, they literally have millions of products. They have so many things that they are selling. So unless you're kind of reaching a point where you are having to house millions of pages of something, then I could kind of understand it. If you're an Apple, if you've got millions of apps, okay, fine. Or if you're Netflix and you've got thousands or hundreds of thousands of movies, okay, I get it, you could try it. But for most people, we're not getting 4 million visitors to our homepage on a monthly basis. Maybe you are, maybe you're getting more, but then the question mark is, and what I always like to focus upon, is what is going to make sense for the user? Because here's a reason why I actually feel in many cases, a website slider can actually hurt. It can actually hamper usability of a site, not help it. So a lot of times, just consider the other aspect of this, is that most people today, I won't say a majority, but a lot of people today, and growing number, are accessing sites via a phone. I'm probably going to dedicate a whole episode to why it's so important to make sure that you are creating a mobile content strategy, just because mobile is everything these days. I just recently ran a typeform test. I polled my audience and asked them, you know, in a series of questions of what they're interested in me creating over at Rightly Designed. And one of the things I found most fascinating is that in terms of the actual form submissions, over half, so over 50% of them, were submitted on a mobile device. So that was just my audience. That was that segment of people who filled that out. All that was showing to me is that the amount of people interacting or engaging with content are doing it in a rapidly increasing number on a mobile device. Now, what does that have to do with a slider? Sliders are generally created in such a way as to make, they're very difficult to work with on a mobile device, especially if they haven't been designed to interact with swipe functionality. Somebody who looks at a slider is not going to think, we've been kind of trained as smartphone users to swipe left and right with our fingers, not to tap a little arrow button to move from left to right. Not to mention the fact that they're very distracting. Again, they typically just get skimmed over or ignored altogether when it comes to actually being visited on a smartphone. Again, people, if you have to take into account the way that things are laid out typically on a smartphone, and a thin strip at the top of the page that's scrolling all by itself typically isn't in line with what most web apps or what most apps do. And so for most people, they just ignore them, or they just get in the way of what the person is actually trying to accomplish. So here's what I typically recommend, because a lot of times when I see people create who do not have hundreds of thousands of pages or hundreds of thousands of something that they have within the confines of their website, like an Amazon or a Netflix, a lot of times it's just a problem of overcomplicating how the information on the website is being housed or stored. A lot of times, when somebody visits a website, especially for the first time, they're going to spend maybe 10 seconds there. You have a very brief window of opportunity to be able to win them over. And if you've listened to me before, you probably know the number one thing that I recommend you attempting to do is to offer them something of value in exchange for an email address. An email address is key. An email list is key to building any website or any business. However, even that concept aside, it is very important to be extremely clear, because if it is not clear within 10 seconds what you do or why you exist or why your website exists, it's not going to be clear for the person who is going there. There's too much content. There's too many ads. Facebook was a great example of that. There's just too much information hitting people at once. That is why it is so key to focus, to streamline, to tell people in less than a sentence who you are and what you do. A slider totally contradicts that concept, because a slider a lot of times is going to show or focus upon what is new. Like on Amazon, we're going to use Amazon as an example. You're going to see an Echo ad up there, right? That's the latest product. They can do that because everybody knows who Amazon is. It makes sense that they're going to show the latest ad. But for most of us, that's not a luxury that we have. Most people who are visiting our site are visiting for the very first time. So unless that first slide is a bottom line about who you are, what you do, and a call to action, it's not going to serve that purpose. And if it is a bottom line, a headline or a brand, your brand essence or something like that, along with the call to action, then the question is, why would you want those additional slides? Because you're just going to distract away from that main point that you want people to take away or understand the second they visit your website. So that's a main thing. But number two, not only the clarity aspect of being clear about what you do, especially to those first-time visitors, the other aspect of it is being clear yourself on the organization of your website. This doesn't only apply to sliders. A lot of time when people are doing sliders is because they're trying to make too many things stand out at once. There's kind of a saying in the design world, because I've, you know, a lot of designers have run into situations where people try to make everything stand out. Especially I used to do a lot of book cover design. So people say, I want the title, I want the subtitle, I want the author name. I want it all to stand out. I want it all to be bold. Well, there's a saying that if everything stands out, then nothing stands out. So the whole idea is that you always want to leave focus upon one thing. So a lot of times what people are trying to accomplish by cramming five slides into one space on a website as a slider, they're trying to make five things stand out. And again, if everything stands out, nothing stands out. So you'll see this not only in sliders, you also see it in things like site navigation, where people will create like tons of dropdowns and flyout menus and just keep it simple. If you've got a lot of like secondary pages and information and places on your site that people need to be able to navigate to, put those down in the footer. Create four columns, each with a heading, and organize and categorize those into lists where people can get to them if they want, almost like an index. But limit your main navigation to five items, and instead of a slider, just do one image, do one area with one call to action. There's some people who kind of test back and forth between having two calls to action on the front, meaning you have a button that says start a free trial, start a free trial or buy now. That can work sometimes, but I think especially when you're starting out, keep it really simple. Know what the one thing is that you want people to know about you and what you want them to do. So at the end of the day, are there cases when a slider works? Yes, there are. If you want something that's a little bit more advanced, one thing you could try is you could put a slider on your front page and show it only for people who have already been there before. So if you want to show your latest product and the person has already opted into your email list or they're already a member of your site or whatever you offer, you could show them a slider that kind of displays the latest products. But again, then I would always come back to, well, maybe just consider showing only your latest product rather than a slider of them. So I would always recommend, if you're on the fence, you don't really know, I like sliders, they're so pretty. I would always recommend make sure that the reason for which you are making a decision on your site is for accomplishing a specific goal rather than something that's neat or looks pretty or something like that. So always function over form in terms of when it comes to a site, because it's really important for any website. The main goal is for it to actually help you build your business, not necessarily to be a work of art. If you can have it be both, great, but I'd start with the business aspect of it first. Okay, so hopefully that's helpful. I wanted to break that down. I know from time to time, a lot of people tend to ask, what about website sliders? Are you still a thing? The bottom line is I recommend staying away from them. Just get laser focused with what you are offering to your customers and to your prospects. And I think you're going to see a lot better results, especially when you simplify the call to action and who you are and what you do. Okay, so hopefully, again, you found that useful. As always, I always appreciate it when you head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. That's very important to us. And until next week, go out there and create something truly notable.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the program. To review the show notes along with any links shared in this episode, visit notableshow.com. Also, please take a quick moment to subscribe and review The Notable Show on Apple Podcasts or the medium of your choosing. Thanks again for listening and have a notable day.